The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. And you, Bethlehem of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd and be the shepherd of my people." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and acclaimed from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they said they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed from their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Merry Christmas. We're still living this season of Christmas, 8 days, the octave of Christmas. And so beautiful how our church, in her wisdom, in the mystery of the faith that we celebrate every time we come here, every Sunday, every time we enter into the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the mystery between our Lord's birth as our Savior and our Lord dying on the cross as our Savior and Redeemer, and then rising from the dead and being seated at the right hand of the Father that we proclaim every Sunday in the Creed, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so the church, in her wisdom, puts as the bookends in this mystery Christmas and Easter. And so we celebrate 8 days, eight full days. So Christmas is 8 days in one. Isn't that awesome? It's great. And so here we are, and kind of entering in that final 8 days of Christmas, but then we move on to the Christmas season and continue to celebrate. But what we see here is we see lived out in the gospel, and really lived out in the season that we are, it's a time of gift giving, a time of offering things to others. I remember finishing one of the masses during Christmas, and a family came up with their teenage children and little ones, and they had a gift wrapped, and they just kind of came up and said, "Here's a gift, Father." I'm like, "Okay, thank you. Should I put it on the tree with Father Mike and I?" And they're like, "No, open it now. Open it now." They're all excited. "Open it now." Right? They wanted to see the reaction, right? So I open up the gift, and I look there, and it's a blue pillow. And I kind of looked at it, and it was blue. I'm like, "Father, you need to flip it over. Flip over the pillow." And so as I flipped over the pillow, I saw a quote that my rector in the seminary once told me that I had mentioned in some homily, that it was a gift to me, that reflection. But then I was able to return the gift and share it with them in a homily, and those of you who have heard it. And it was this. The quote was, "Jesus Christ did not say, 'Take up your pillow and follow me.' He said, 'Take up your cross and follow me.'" Right? So just as the babe Jesus came and was laid in a manger, a gift for all humanity, from the wood of the crib to the wood of the cross, he's the one person who came into time not to live but to die. His focus was to die so that through his death we may have life. Here's the invitation. The invitation is, be the gift. Be the gift. BTG in 2022. Jesus gives himself to us so that we can be gifts to others. When we live authentic Christianity, that I will die for you, sacrifice for you type of love. When we live that type of love that the Beatitudes speak about, blessed are you. Blessed are you when they persecute you, insult you, and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad because your reward will be in heaven. Be the gift. How were the Magi the gift to Jesus? We focus a lot on the gifts that they brought, but how were they the gift? As you are the gift. You are the gift. We are the gift to Jesus this day. They had to travel through some inclement, tough weather. You did this morning, getting up, rain, put on the rain boots, get here. But you journeyed. It was a little cloudy maybe as you came. They came and they represented not the chosen people, those of the Jewish nation, but they represented the Gentiles, which we all are, unless you have Jewish roots. Unless you can trace your roots all the way back to Judaism, you are a Gentile. And those kings represented that. And Abraham, our father in the faith, rejoiced over that. That he would see the day that God promised him, that your offspring, generations will come after you, they'll be greater than the stars. That was being fulfilled through the little babe. And it could be kind of like, we could look at that in the gospel and say, man, if only I was there, so only I was there with Mary and Joseph in what, the cave? Where they had no room in the inn? Where they were set apart? Where those kings had to come and they had to make, activate the eyes of faith in their heart? Because Jesus' divinity was concealed in his humanity. We see it. Herod wanted to go out and kill the child. But they had the simplicity of faith to believe that a king was coming. Something great was coming. And so they traveled from distant lands. And what do they bring? What do they want to offer this king? What do they want to offer this savior? They offered gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, a gift to a king, acknowledging this baby as a king. Frankincense, a gift to show worship to a god. That's what we put in the incense. When we do the incense at church, we did on Christmas, as the smoke goes up, that symbolizes our prayer. The early pagans did that. Christians died because of that. Because there were three ways that you could deny your Christian faith in the early church in Rome. One, you could deny your faith and just pay somebody and you get out of it if you had the money. Two, you could turn in some books because they didn't have many of them and they would burn them and you get out of it. Or if you didn't turn in the books, the sacred books, your life was threatened. Or three, you're invited to put some incense, some frankincense in a golden thurible for someone else to do the smoke, symbolizing the prayer to a pagan god. And Christians said, no, I will not deny the living God. And some of them died for that. And then Christianity incorporated this in, the incense, into our church, brought it in, said, yeah, we'll take that. We'll take that, and we're going to use that to honor the true God. So they brought incense as a way to honor a god, a king, a god. Then they brought myrrh. Jesus was laid in swaddling clothes in a cave, in a manger, with wood to support his back. The same Jesus, after proclaiming the good news and being rejected by many to the extreme of going to the cross, and died with the wood to his back, and was wrapped also in swaddling clothes and laid in a cave, and myrrh was brought. Myrrh was given as a sign of death to anoint the body in death. Here's the invitation for you and me, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Be the gift. BTG in 2002. Write it down if it helps you. If it doesn't help you, that's fine. Sometimes people like the acronyms. Father, give me something that I can remember on Monday. Preach to my Monday. I hope this helps you not only for your Monday, but for your whole 2022. BTG. Be the gift. Be the gift that you are by virtue of your baptism, the call of Jesus Christ to be that type of gift, the gift that's laid at the manger. When those kings came and laid the gifts at the manger, Jesus in his sacred heart, because he's God and we're not, saw you and saw me, saw people of all humanity, those who would lay their lives at the manger, lay their lives prostrate more than palms down on the ground before the Savior. How might we do that? How might we be something more precious than gold? Our hearts. How might I give my heart to my King this year? How might I examine my heart at the beginning of 2022 and truly ask myself, independent of my age, independent of the state of life, a heart-to-heart question, my heart with the heart of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. How might I let you rule as my King in my heart? What other kingdoms are in our hearts? What other kingdoms vie to take over the land of our heart? The Garden of Eden of our heart. The sacred space of our heart. I can't tell you, and I know I need to work on it myself too, but how might Jesus reign in my heart this year? Give him the gold of your heart. The early Christians, they came, and we have an offertory before the Eucharistic celebration, the actual entering into the Eucharist, where the priest lifts up the gifts of bread and wine, where all of us are invited to put our hearts on those, on that paten, in that chalice. The early Christians brought the fruits of their labor. They brought the what they got in the field, and they all lived in common, and they distributed it freely and wholeheartedly because they thought this king was going to come within 24 hours or a week or a year. They were living each day knowing that he was coming again, and they wanted to give their hearts to Jesus. What moves the heart of Jesus? More than gold? Hearts like the widow who came into the church and came in the temple and gave her whole livelihood. Her whole livelihood. Jesus wants our hearts. First, how might I give Jesus my heart to reign in 2022? Second, frankincense. It smells beautiful. Something greater than frankincense is our prayer. How might I offer the Christ child and be the gift of my prayer to him who gives himself to me? How? I can't answer that for you. I have to search my own heart. How I'm going to improve and draw closer to our Lord in prayer. You may be sitting there and say, Father, I don't know how to pray. I didn't really know how to pray when I was 27 years old and sitting in my rocking chair overlooking New York City from my apartment. I didn't know how to pray. But a priest just invited me to just be simple. Give God 15 minutes of silence in your rocking chair every day and open the gospel. Open the gospel and let him speak to you and listen. God will lead us in prayer. Just give him the time. Give him the incense of our prayer, which is our presence becomes the present. Our presence becomes the presence. Present. How might I offer Jesus the frankincense of my prayer this year? You know, there's a saying, everybody should pray 30 minutes every day. We spend 30 minutes every day eating right at least. Eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and 10 minutes is what might get a stomach ache. Little ones are like, yeah, you're talking my language, chocolate chip pancakes and all that stuff. I got to have them. Prayer, 30 minutes a day. Maybe it's 10 minutes in the morning. Maybe it's 10 minutes midday. Turn off the radio, drive into wherever you're going, turn it off and have silence in your church, your little chapel of your car. Or maybe it's walking in the neighborhood or going for a run without buds in the ears and singing a psalm in your heart, recalling the presence of our Lord who runs with you or walks with you. Maybe it's 10 minutes right before bed, gathering as a family around the dinner table and open up scripture and just reading it and ask each other what you think and letting 2 minutes of silence soak in and ask each other, what'd you get out of that? Prayer. To make it real this year, everybody should pray 30 minutes every day. And if you're busy, oh man, if you're busy, an hour. If you're busy, an hour. Because what happens is we can get caught up in the activism. We're going, going, go, 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 go. Got to do it. It's got to be. Pray as if everything depends on God and work as if everything depends on you. Thank you, St. Augustine. Pray as if everything depends on God. Work as if everything depends on you. St. John Paul II, who's a saint, by the way, was a model for that. And where did he get that example from? He got that from his parents. His brother died at an early age because he was a doctor, not afraid to run into the difficulties and the illness of the time in Poland. His mother died before World War II. And then he witnessed his dad up 2 a.m. praying on his knees. That taught John Paul II as a young child how to pray. How to pray. So when, as Pope, he got a phone call and his secretary came in and said, there's world leaders on the phone. It is a crisis right now. He said, I'll be there in a second. And he was in his chapel. 10 minutes went by. Came back again, said, hey, they're still on the phone. They're waiting. I'll be there in a second. 10 more minutes went by. It was like close to an hour before he went to the phone, picked up the phone, and called the world leaders. Why did it take you so long? Because if it's that important, I need to spend more time in prayer. Pray for your families. Pray as a family. Make a goal this year. Make it a priority this year. Make the weekend experience a priority this year. Go out to your friends and families who are still, and if you're still watching on Zoom, don't feel bad, but if you haven't received the Eucharist in a year, we got weekday masses, we got other times, come, Jesus wants to give himself to you so that you can go and be the gift. Prayer in 2022 as frankincense. And finally, myrrh. We give gold, we give Jesus our heart, we give frankincense our prayer. Myrrh, by giving him our heart, by being men and women, boys and girls of prayer, we can then imitate Jesus and die to ourselves. Jesus doesn't say, take up your pillow and follow me. He says, take up your cross and follow me. As a Christian, we're walking with him to Calvary, but it's through the cross to the resurrection. And if we're going to inspire any kind of change in this world, the only way to inspire change is through authentic love. It's through dying to ourselves. Myrrh represent a death. A real dying to yourselves. What do I need to do today? What do I need to do right now? When I leave this church, and hopefully you'll stay till the final prayer, everybody does for most masses, but don't jet out too early. Continue to worship. Continue to sing. Continue to pray. And when I get out there to my car, am I willing to go home a different way? Am I willing to die to the old way? That's what the kings were willing to do. Change was hard for them. They didn't have GPSs in it, but they knew that they had encountered the king. They knew that that encounter had changed them, and they had the courage to go home in a different way, to follow a different way, and actually, without even knowing it, to follow the way. This Jesus Christ, who is not only the gift, but the giver of the gift. This Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. This Jesus, who gives himself to us so that in this year, you and me, with the help of his grace, can be the gift for others.